So I know not everyone was able to be here last week. So we'll start with a little chazara. The truth is, we spoke out most of the important halachic implications last week. Obviously, there's a ton to say and much more than one can do in a single shiur. But just to review from last week. Okay, take a copy of the Maamar Makomos and follow along. We'll just run through, again, we did about the first half of the sources. We'll run through it, I'll regal achas very quickly. Our discussion begins with the Torah. Right? The Torah in two places talks about the isser of destroying one's beard. We have a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim in source number one that says, Lo sashchis, do not destroy, as pa'as zikonecha, do not destroy the peah, right, of your zakan. Yeah, the same source sheet, yeah. Don't destroy the pa'as zikonecha. What does pa'as mean? So we saw in source number two, Rashi and Shavuos told us that pa'as means the edge or the end of something. Okay, so don't destroy the edge of your beard. How do we define the edge of the beard and how do we define destroying is what we spent a lot of time trying to figure out last week. But there's a second pasuk. A second pasuk in Parshas Emor in source number three where it says, pa'as zikonam lo yigalecha. In the context of Kohanim, it uses a different phrase. Right? It refers again to the pa'as zakan, the edge of the beard, and here it says, don't shave. It doesn't say, lo sashchis, don't destroy, it says, don't shave. Okay, so we need to try to figure out, that's what we did last week again, to try to figure out, first of all, what is considered the edge, and what is considered destroying, and what is considered shaving, why is one pasuk said to all of Klal Yisrael, and the second pasuk said specifically to the Kohanim, is it really two separate Isurim, is it one Isur? So we saw the Gemara in Makos and in source 4, Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, where the Mishnah in Makos, in the third parak, tells us that a person who destroys his beard is Chayiv Malkus. Right? We give lashes to a person who destroys his beard. And that Mishnah told us, in source 4 where it's bolded, that for the beard there are 5 points that are considered the edges that can't be destroyed. Alazakan, shtayim mikan va'achas lamata. 2 on each side and 1 on the bottom. Again, it's still very vague. But at least we know we're looking for 5 different points on the face, which we're being told not to destroy. And furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, again where it's bolded, Ve'eino chayiv ad shiatlenu b'tam. And you're only in violation if you destroy the beard with a razor. Okay, so this Mishnah is very helpful. It's given us a lot more information. Where are these 5 points on the face? Still very unclear. The Gemara told us in source 5, on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that Rav Sheshes has pointed, Machvei Rav Sheshes bein Pirkei Dikna, Rav Sheshes has pointed to the joints of the beard, right? To the joints of the beard, but what does that mean? Where are the joints of the beard? So again, there's 5 points, we have to try to locate it. I'm just doing a little chazar in source number 5, that Rav Sheshes has pointed to the joints of the beard. So again, but where is that? How do I find that? Okay, and again, why is the Isser only with a razor? Can I use scissors to trim my beard? How does this all work? So the Gemara in Makos in source 6 puts it all together for us. The Gemara says that really, again, we have 2 pasukim. The pasuk in Kedoshim said what? What was the language of the pasuk? Lo sashes, don't destroy. The pasuk in Parshas Amor said what? Don't shave. So is it don't shave? Is it don't destroy? Is it 2 separate things? Says the Gemara in Makos in source number 6. Ha-ketzad, in the last line, Yiluach she'esh bo'ashchasa. We put the 2 psukim together and we say, there's 1 prohibition, don't shave in a way that is destructive. How does one shave in a way that's destructive? Havayomer zetar. This refers to shaving with a razor. Okay, so how about using scissors? Sounds like it would be okay. Why are scissors okay? We saw in the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law and his Talmud, right, who takes over for Rashi on Daf Yutes, Amud Beis and Maseches Makos. So he writes an explanation of the Gemara that we just saw in source number 6. In source number 7, he writes as follows: Derech legaleach bo umashtis v'hainu tar. You can't shave in a way that also destroys, and that is a razor. Ava rehidni mashtis ve'ein derech legaleach. But to use a type of plane which is used for leveling wood, which certainly can destroy your beard. You can rip off your whole beard if you use one of these sharp-edged things that are used for smoothing out wood. Right? It destroys, but it's not a normal way to shave. Ein derech legaleach bo. Misparayim, scissors on the other hand. Megalchin, it's normal to shave with them. Ve'ein mashchise, but they don't destroy. So those are both acceptable. The only prohibition is what? To use something which is A, normally used for shaving, and B, it will destroy the beard entirely, will remove the beard entirely. Okay? So now at least we understand how losashkes works, we understand the combination of the 2 psukim. Again, coming back to our question of where are the 5 points on the face? So it's a massive machlokas rishonim. It's a very, very big machlokas rishonim. The Gra, who brings in Yordei, Kufay Aleph, a summary of the Shitos, says that Rashi's position is the main position. The 5 points on the face, as Rashi delineates them, is the main position. But even how to understand Rashi is a machlokas achronim. So it's very not pashut to figure out exactly where are these 5 spots on the face. And therefore, what does the Shulchan Aruch recommend in source number 9? The Shulchan Aruch recommends in source number 9 that a Yari Shemayim Yotza Es Kulam V'lo Ya'avir Ta'ara Kol Zakano Klal. A person who wants to play it safe, because there's so many different opinions, where am I not allowed to use a razor on my face? So Yari Shemayim will never bring a razor to his face, because he's only asking for trouble if he brings a razor to his face. Okay? So again, according to the Gemara, what do we say about scissors? No problem, right? Scissors seems to be entirely acceptable. Again, what's the logic that makes scissors acceptable? Scissors are certainly used for shaving. It's a normal device for removing hair from one's face. It's not a tool that's used for smoothing wood. It's a normal device, right? But it doesn't do what? It doesn't destroy.
Doesn't a shaver destroy?
Oh, so let's see. We'll get to electric shavers in a second, right? But again, a razor has the ability. It's normal to shave with, and it will destroy the beard entirely. Scissors, the postulate of the Gemara was what? It's normal to cut one's beard with scissors, but it will not destroy entirely. Okay? The question that we have to ask then is, what if I could create a scissor that can remove the beard entirely? Right? That's already talking about an electric shaver. But before we get there,
did you say the problem was
Marisayan? Right. Okay. So let's look at source 15 again. Let's go to source 15. Okay, in source 15, again, we discussed the Shitas HaRambam, Machlokas, what the Rambam holds about using scissors to get a close shave. Is it Pater Aval Asar? Is it entirely Mutter? Okay, what would be the concern of using a scissor that could get a very close shave? If scissors are allowed, what would be wrong with using a scissor that gets a close shave? So the Ritva gave one of two explanations. The Ritva says in source 15, V'chein Hilchasa, you're allowed to use a scissor. U'mishur sadin, kol shu'u b'misparayim, afilu ke'ein tar mutar. If I could use scissors, even if it's like a razor, meaning it can do a very good job, it's allowed. Aval, says the Ritva, 2 points. Number one, midas chasidim shalola asoskim nechshad haroim. First of all, there's a chashash of marasayim. That someone who sees you walking around with a clean shaven face will say, oh, I thought Jews weren't allowed to use razors, but that guy clearly does, and he's a pretty firm guy, so it must be that Jews are allowed to use razors. And the person doesn't realize that you just did a really good job with scissors. Okay, so because of Maris Ayin, that might be one reason to not be so quick to use scissors that can cut in such a way. And second of all, there's a concern that what? That even though if I cut with scissors, that's permissible, but if I'm not careful, I could end up using the blade of the scissor almost like a razor. If I'm not careful to use a cutting method, I could come to actually scrape the face using the lower, sharper, normally, the sharper blade of the scissor, which is the lower one, at least traditionally that's how it was. That's how the Rishonim explained it. And therefore, that's also a concern. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, so what do we do? So I pointed out last week from Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher in the Chuvos, as far as the concern of Maris Ayin, Rav Asher Weiss says nowadays it's not a concern at all. Meaning, because there are acceptable methods of removing hair from one's face nowadays, right? If you see someone walking down the street, you should think positively about them, not negatively about them. You see a married woman who seems to be walking around with her own hair out, right? You're not sure, it's such a good shaitel, you can't even tell, right? So what should you assume? Says Rav Asher Weiss, you should assume she's covering her hair. Because you know there's such an institution as Sheitel, it's certainly a widespread enough practice, not everyone allows it, but it's a widespread enough practice that you should give her benefit of the doubt. And therefore, it's not a concern of Maris Ayin, we have to just learn to see our fellow Jews in a better way. We shouldn't look at people and assume that they're doing it a better way. Assume that whatever you see is done in an acceptable way. Okay? So that's as far as the Maris Ayin question. As far as using scissors that can get a close shave, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 17, Shulchan Aruch paskins, Eino chayev al hashchasas pa'as hazakan el betar. The only prohibition is to use a razor. Aval misparayim mutter, using scissors is permissible. Afilu ke'ein tar, even if it's razor-like. Okay? So on the books, if you can use a scissor and get a close shave, go for it, says the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, Haggah,
So
Right? Make sure you use the upper part of the scissor as well. V'lo b'tachton. And don't just use the bottom part of the scissor. Why? Penyasa kol b'chelak ha'tachton v'adek katar. It's possible that, again, you could use the scissor almost like a razor, and that would certainly be problematic. That's what he writes, b'shem the Trumas Hadeshin. Okay, the Trumas Hadeshin, when we saw Israel in one of the early and important Trumas farm, and he brings that in the halacha. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says that scissors are entirely acceptable, but the Rambam says even with scissors, things can go wrong. You have to be careful. A person could end up doing something that he thinks is more like a scissor, but it's really more like a razor. Which brings us, of course, to our question of electric shavers. How does an electric shaver work? And what is really the focus, right, of the shave? Am I concerned about the action, how it's being cut? Or am I concerned with the result of what my face looks like when it's done? That's an important question that we have to ask. Let me explain what I mean by that. The Chafetz Chaim writes in Source 19, in his Lakutei Halachos, the Sefer on Makos, he says, I see a new machine that's being created. This new machine that has the ability to shave, Ketar Mamish. You see the words of the Chafetz Chaim, the first line? Source 19, Ketar Mamish. It shaves what? Like a razor, Mamish like a razor. Vitolish Aser Legamin, removes the hair entirely. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Lo Nishar Meuma, nothing remains. And a person who uses such a thing is in violation of Torah's prohibition of shaving in a destructive fashion. Veshomer Nafshar Yarchet Mizem Ma'od, and a person who is God fearing will stay far away from such a machine. Now the question is, what was it about this machine that's a problem? Is it a scissor like machine where the action is seems to be acceptable, but because it produces a result that it's tolesh haseyar legami, it removes the hair entirely, so then what? Then it's ketar mamish, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's like a tar. Or, do you go back to the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch said, hold on a second, if you use scissors, and you can get a close shave, then technically it's mutter, right? Even if it's ketar mamish, even if it looks like a tar. So what exactly was the nature of this cutting device that was so problematic? And most poskim assume that whatever machine the Chafetz Chaim was dealing with was not nearly as sophisticated in giving a close shave as our electric shavers. And therefore, if the Chafetz Chaim asked whatever this machinka, hachadosha that he was describing is, this new machine, so then all the more so, our electric shavers would be problematic. Okay, and we ended by quoting the position of some of those posting who are machmir. The Chazon Ish was asked, is it true that you hold, Minchas Yitzchak brings it in his Tshuva in Source 20, the Chazon Ish was asked, is it true that you hold that a God-fearing person should not use an electric shaver? And the Chazon Ish said, no, I don't hold that. I hold that no one should use an electric shaver. Not only someone who's looking to be extra pious. I hold that it's not acceptable for anyone to use such a shaver. Okay, very, very strong Lashona. So what's the heter? How do so many people use an electric shaver? Who do we rely on? And those who use an electric shaver. Right, so we spent some time reading the position of Rav Moshe Feinstein, as recorded in Source 21 in the Megid Givas Olam from Rav Shurkin. Rav Shurkin records his conversations with Rav Moshe about this topic, where Rav Moshe was lenient. Rav Moshe felt that if it's using a scissor-like mechanism, that's acceptable. There's another discussion that we alluded to, and that is whether or not do I have to leave some hair? Right? Let's say I have. When a person shaves with a razor versus an electric shaver, there's no question that a razor gets an even closer shave. Okay? Certainly, many electric shavers. A razor will do a much... When a person shaves with an electric shaver, you can still feel a very, you know, a drop of stubble. You may not be able to see it very much, but you still feel something. It doesn't remove it mamish down to the skin. So the Chassam Sofer held that if the hair is there, but it's so small that you can't even grab it, that's not called hair. We quoted last week that Rav Soloveitchik said, in the name of his grandfather, Chaim Brisker, Chaim Soloveitchik, that that's not true. That's not what you need in order to not violate the sister. Meaning what? The Torah doesn't say you have to have hair on your face. What does the Torah say? Don't destroy. Which means what? As long as you can feel anything, Rav Chaim Brisker felt that you have not violated don't destroy. You hear? It's not like other areas of halacha where we're looking for a measure of hair. Like Para Aduma, or by a Nazir, where we're measuring hair. Here we're not interested in measuring hair. We just want to know, have you destroyed the hair of your face? If there's anything there, even the slightest trace of it, that's not considered destroying the hair of your face, according to Rav Chaim Brisker. Okay? And again, Rav Moshe was lenient when it came to electric shavers. Rav Shurkin recorded, we mentioned last week, that Rav Moshe was asked, so why didn't you write a tshuva in the Igros Moshe about it? If this is what you really held, why don't you paskin it in print? Why don't you write it? Rav Moshe told everyone they're allowed to use electric shavers. Why don't you write it in the Igros Moshe? So Rav Moshe said, because I still hold that the tzura of a yid, that the appearance of a Jew should be one with a beard. That's what I hold. And I don't want to make it so concrete in halacha, right? That Jews should destroy their beard, that they should rely on my heter. I believe it's a real heter, 100%. But I don't want to change the reality that Jews classically have gone with beards. It's the look of a Jew. And therefore it should be continued, and I don't want to put it in print. So someone said to Rav Moshe, we said this last week, someone said to Rav Moshe, so maybe, but Rav Moshe, come on, are you just coming up with a heter because you feel that what? That people need a heter to rely on? Or do you really, really believe that it's 100% okay? Is there a tzad to be machmir? Is there some, you know, tzad to be a little bit machmir? So what did Rav Moshe answer? Remembers? You don't remember? So Moshe said, the same tzad to be machmir, right, when it comes to cutting your challah on Shabbos, that maybe I shouldn't cut my challah on Shabbos because it's a concern of kotzer, right? It's a concern of harvesting when I slice my challah. So the same svara that I would say to be machmir by cutting challah, would, to that degree I would say to be machmir when it comes to shit, which was Moshe's way of saying, I hold of it 100%, you don't have to be machmir at all. It's ridiculous to be machmir. But again, there are many posts who are machmir. So we pointed out from the Minchas Yitzchak in source 22 that not all shavers are created equal. Meaning, even if you are going to follow the position of those gedolim who allowed one to use an electric shaver, there are better electric shavers and there are worse electric shavers. There are those that get a closer and closer shave, which is less ideal. There are those that have a lift and cut mechanism, which brings your face even closer to the blade, which is more problematic. And there are those that have a larger and thicker foil that separates the blade from your face, which are certainly better. So even if you're going to rely on a leaning opinion, you should still try to get the most acceptable halachic shaver possible.
Where another are you yeah. clear to use
the Where is the lower end of it?
Yeah.
The lower end is sort of around your Adam's apple.
Here?
Yeah. That would be the most extreme here. Position of the end, the lower. Again, the Gemara says there's two points on the sides and one on the bottom. So many hold that the bottom is the chin. Right? The R sheet doesn't really show and hold the bottom is the you know lower part of the neck, like where the you know the hair of the beard kind of descends to. Okay, so there might be what even be machmir, you know, to avoid you. Below that point one could use a razor. But one should not, a person who's Yari Shemayim, the Shulchan Aruch says, because there are so many shittos in the Rishonim, a Jew should not bring a razor to his face. If you want to say that I want to rely, right, to use an electric shaver over here, as opposed to over here, I'll allow the electric shaver at a lower place, because already I might be allowed to shave with a razor there. And then to rely on those posts without an electric shaver, I think, you know, you could put together some of the kulas and feel more comfortable with it. Right? But the Chazon Ish felt that an electric shaver could not be brought on the face the same way a razor can't be brought on the face. Okay? And again, not all shavers are created equally. What about using a cream to burn off one's beard? So he said that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would recommend that over an electric shaver. And when people said to him, but the cream, you know, burns my skin, it hurts a lot, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach responded in a very harif fashion, uncharacteristic of Shlomo Zalman, I would say, from at least what I know of Shlomo Zalman, who was more benachas, usually, than these types of fiery comments, but it's brought in the Halicha Shlomo, in source 23 in the footnotes, that he said, you're worried about your face burning from the cream, I'm more worried about you burning in Gehenna from using an electric shaver. So, better to burn now than to burn in the world of truth. Very strong statement. And the Chazon Ish also had reservations about the cream. While he didn't asser it, he held it halachically mutter, he wrote in a letter in source 24, and this is where we ended last time, al derech ha-sam, im eino sam, dot, dot, dot. It's not a sam ha-maves, but it's also not a sam ha-chaim. He's paraphrasing the Gemara. It's not a potion or elixir of death. It's not going to kill you, but it's also not the ideal way to live your life. This is a goyish azach to be walking around clean shaven. It's not the way that Jews classically have looked. And while it's not usher to use this cream, I'm not overly fond of it. That was the position of the Chazon Ish. Okay, so that's where we got up to last time. So part two, I want to discuss the tam, the reason behind this mitzvah, and we'll see a fascinating discussion that it plays itself out in the pages of the Torah. Okay? That's just so we understand what we're talking about. What is the Torah? What is the Torah? The Torah was the sefer that preceded the Shulchan Aruch in recording halacha in an organized fashion, right? The Torah is divided into Arba Turim, into four pillars, four sections. The names of those four pillars are Arachayim, daily laws, Yeradeya, Eben Ezra and Choshen Mishpat, right? Those four sections that the Shulchan Aruch followed. The middle of the page is the commentary of the Torah, who was the son of the Rush. And on the side of the page, you have the commentaries of the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, who will go on to write the Shulchan Aruch. And the Bayis Chodesh, Rav Yoel Sirkis, on the other side of the page. Okay? At the bottom of the page, you have the Darche Moshe, which was Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ramah's comments on the Torah. And then you have the Drisha and the Prisha, and other commentaries which we've seen in Gemara this year. Okay? I'm setting it up because it's a fascinating discussion that plays itself out. If you actually sit down and open a Torah to your day, Kuf Pei Aleph, the laws of shaving, there's a fascinating, fascinating discussion. It's not so much halacha. We've kind of just blended through the halacha as far as what the basic understanding of the halacha regarding shaving is. But now we're going to talk a little more of the hashkafa behind it, and it's a fascinating discussion, again, that plays out in the Rambam and in the Torah. The Rambam explains in multiple places why is it that the Torah says you're not allowed to destroy your beard. Why does Hashem not like it? What does Hashem have against a Jew walking around with a clean shaven face? What's wrong with that? So the Rambam in Source 25, 26, 27, both in the Minyan HaKatzar of the Minyan HaMitzvos, and in 26 in the Minyan HaMitzvos, and in Hilchos of Avodah Zarah, in Perek Yud Beis, the Rambam says, what is the reason for the prohibition of removing one's beard? We'll read Source 26. HaMitzvah HaMem Dalid, the 44th Mitzvah Slosa Asay of the Torah is, Shizharnu Milagalea Chazakan. Don't destroy your beard. Why? Bezeg Gam Kein Haya Kishut Komre Avodah Zarah. Why are we told not to destroy our beards? Who walks around without a beard? A Goyish priest. Says the Rambam, because the Komrei, the priests of Avodah Zarah, this is Kishut, this is part of their adornment. This is a sign of a Goyish priest to walk around clean shaven. It's part of their royal class. That's how they dress. As part of the adornment of a priest, and therefore it's not for us to dress that way. It's not for us to look that way. Okay, the Rambam again in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Source 27, Derech Kohane Ove Kochavim Haya Lahashkes Zikanam Lefichav. Therefore, Osra Torah Lahashkes Hazakan. So it sounds like Hashem was responding to a reality that existed at the time the Jewish people got the Torah. When the Jews got the Torah, apparently the priests of the various nations of the world would shave their beards entirely, and therefore to counter that, Hashem said, I'm not as Kohanim, but God Kadosh. I'm a Kohanim. Every Jew is a Kohen. Every Jew is a priest. And therefore, every Jew has to walk around dafka with a beard to respond to this appearance of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay? That's the Rambam. Now, the Torah was very upset with the Rambam for this comment. Why? Before we even read the Torah, tell me why. Avram, tell me why. Why was the Torah so upset with the Rambam's comment? Yes, from Jeremy?
Jew and a
guy. Why not? The Sefer HaChinuch writes in the second mitzvah of the 613 that we have a bris milah to distinguish our bodies from the Gentiles.
Yeah, so we already have a bris milah.
Okay, I don't think he's worried that there's too much of a distinction.
I think similarities between other religious leaders.
Forget the detail of what the Rambam says. Why does he not like that the Rambam is giving this type of reason? Yeah, it's Josh.
Well, what if the 1,000 years later, start wearing?
Right, what if the priests start growing their beards? So now what? So now the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore?
In
the Dover Sof, exactly. It's a very dangerous thing to ascribe a very particular, specific reason to a mitzvah. It almost implies that if the reason is batal, then the mitzvah is batal. And that's why the Torah in Yoredeh Kuf Pei Aleph, by the laws of rounding off one's head and destroying one's beard, the Torah speaks, he quotes the position of the Rambam in Source 28, and then he writes as follows, V'zeh Eino, where it's bolded, V'zeh Eino Mefurash, this is not explicit, the Torah never said that that's the reason, V'ein Anu Tzvichim Levakish Tam L'mitzos, Ki Mitzvos Melechem Aleinu, Af Lo Neda Tam. We don't do mitzvos because we are, right? This week's Parsha, Nasa V'rishma. It's Mamash this week's Parsha, Perach Avdal L'Pazuk Zayin, this week's Parsha. We do mitzvos because the king decreed us to do mitzvos. And therefore, I don't like what the Rambam is telling us. There's nowhere it says mefurash that this is the reason for the mitzvah. And who is the Rambam to tell us this? We do mitzvahs because Hashem said so. Now, what is it mashma from the Torah? How could we almost understand the words of the Torah? He's almost criticizing the Rambam as if the Rambam were to say that what? He's almost making it sound like the Rambam believed that what? That if I don't understand something, I don't have to do it. Now, I'm going to poll the audience before we go any further. How many of you think the Rambam actually held that if we don't understand the mitzvah, you don't have to do it? Does anyone agree to that? I don't agree to that either. I would say, of course the Rambam holds you have to do it regardless. The Rambam is just giving an explanation. Okay, but shockingly, the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Kano, on the side of the Torah, understood the Torah's critique of the Rambam that way. The Beis Yosef thought that the Torah was saying, the Torah was accusing the Rambam of holding the position that what? That we only do the mitzvahs because we understand them. And if we don't understand them, you don't have to do them. And the Torah is upset at the Rambam for saying such a thing, that we only do mitzvahs if we understand them. Do we think the Rambam really held that way? But this is what the Beis Yosef thought the Torah thought about the Rambam. Yeah? This is what the Beis Yosef thought the Torah thought about the Rambam. And of course the Beis Yosef defends the Rambam. He comes to the Rambam's defense and he says, what are you talking about? The Rambam certainly doesn't hold that way. The Rambam holds, of course you do mitzvahs even if you don't understand them. What is the Rambam's position in general with regard to understanding mitzvahs? I gave you a bunch of examples on the page. Let's go to source 29. The Rambam is very clear. We do mitzvahs because God says so, period. Are we allowed to try to understand them? Of course we're allowed to try to understand them. We should try to understand them. But we don't, God forbid, stop doing mitzvahs if we don't understand them. The Rambam, for example, in Hilchos Mikvos, in source 29. What is the logic of Tumah and Tara? Why do we go to the mikvah? You know why we go to the mikvah? Because Hashem says so. It's Gezeiros HaKosef. There's no explanation for it. It's Hashem's rule. It's not something we can intellectually understand, logically. It's a chok. Going to the mikvah to remove tumah is a chok. It's not like a physical dirt or filth that's removed by water. And the Gezeiros HaKosef, it's a decree from Hashem. The Torah says so. V'adavar toli b'kavanas halev, u'lafichach amur chamim, tavo v'luhuch lakilu lo tavo. If you go to mikvah without kavana, with the intention that it should be for a particular purpose, it doesn't even work for you. But then continues the Rambam, v'afal pichin remez yesh b'davar. But there is still a message in the mikvah. So if someone stops you on the street and say, why do Jews go to the mikvah? What's the simple answer? Because God says so. That's not a cop-out, that's a correct answer. That is the most correct answer. Why do Jews go to the mikvah when they're tameh? Because God says so. What's the deeper message? Go look at the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvos, where he goes on and says there's a remez b'dava. There's a lesson when it comes to what happens when a person enters that water and comes out. There's what to explain. But the starting point is nasa v'nishma. I do it because Hashem says so. Afterwards, nishma, I try to understand it further. Another classic example, the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. In Parag Gimel, in source 30, the Rambam says, why did Jews blow the shofar? Rav Saadia Gaon has a whole list of reasons why Jews blow the shofar. Why did Jews blow the shofar? Says the Rambam, even though the real reason we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is what? What's the real reason? Josh, what's the most real reason why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because Hashem said so. Because that's the answer to all 613. Why do you do anything? Because Hashem said so. He's the king and he told you to do it. Says the Rambam, even though the real reason we blow a shofar is Hashem said so. Abba Rav Saadia Gaon has a whole list. Rambam says, I also have a list. Remez Yeshbo. There's still a message in it. Klomo Uri Yeshem Mishinasim. Wake yourself up to tshuva. But that's not the most basic reason why Jews blow shofar. We blow shofar because Hashem says so. Yeah, Eitan.
Why doesn't he say that by shaving only?
Oh, so good. So okay, so let's see. Let's come back to shaving. Okay, I just want to show you Shitas and Rambam in general when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvos. Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tmura. Perek Dalet Halacha Yagimel. Af Api Shekol Chukei HaTorah Gezeiros Hem. Even though all mitzvos are gezeiros, that is the real reason for mitzvos. The Beis Yosef quotes some of these in defense of the Rambam. Quotes some of these Rambams. Royalis Bonet Bahen V'chol Mashata Yachol Litin Lotam Tein Lotam. Even though mitzvahs are gezeiros, you're still allowed to look into it. You should try to make sense of them. It'll sit better with you if you understand it. Shlomo HaMelech understood everything. The one thing that eluded him was what? Paraduma. Paraduma, he couldn't wrap his mind around it. It's Rachokehi, right? Shlomo says in his writings. He says that Paraduma is beyond me. I haven't been able to solve it. I think Rachokehi is Gematria Paraduma, but I'm not sure. Can check that out. But he was saying, Paraduma, I can't get Paraduma. I don't get that. Everything else I get, but Paraduma I don't get. Okay, but he tried to understand most of them. Okay, and lastly, the Rambam again in Hilchos Mi'ilah that he just referenced a second ago. Roy la'adam lisbone b'mishpatei ha'torah ha'kedosha v'leida sof in yanam kefi kocho v'davar shalo yimsalo tam. And something you don't understand, so what, you don't do it? Like the Torah seems to be implying? Don't chas v'sholom stop doing that mitzvah. Don't treat any mitzvah, even if you don't understand it, as a mundane matter. A mitzvah is a davar chashuv, it's a holy thing. You should try to understand it. And the Rambam concludes, Hilchos Me'ila 8:8, two lines at the bottom, V'dima Torah Tzivoy ala chukim, Hashem put chukim before mishpatim, to tell you that the backbone of being a Jew is doing things even if you don't understand. So says the Beis Yosef, how could you say that the Rambam is implying that if the Metzias were to change, like Josh said, if the non-Jewish priests started growing their beards, so what, now the mitzvah would be batal? The Rambam certainly doesn't say that. The Rambam was just trying to help us to understand the mitzvah. And in the context of the time period in which this mitzvah was given, when this mitzvah was given to the Jewish people, the reality was that non-Jewish priests walked around clean-shaven. So Hashem, giving the Torah, which is eternal, but also given at a particular time in world history, was responding to that reality. But the Rambam is not saying that if the Metzias changed, the mitzvah would be batal. God forbid! How could you? Right? How could you, the Torah, Rav Yaakov ben Asher, how could you accuse the Rambam of such a thing? Okay? This is the Beis Yosef, how he understood the Torah, and how he defended the Rambam against the Torah. And furthermore, the Beis Yosef says in Source 34, and I'll show you why the Rambam said what he said. You think the Rambam just made this up? Right? What was the language of the Torah? What did the Torah say to the Rambam? Ze'eno mefurash. It's not explicit in the Torah. Why are you making reasons up? Says the Beis Yosef, hold on, the Rambam actually did look to the Torah to come up with this reason. What was the context of the mitzvah, right? Mitzvah Slosa say, don't destroy your beard. What are the surrounding mitzvahs over there in Parshas Kedoshim and in Parshas Emor? What's it in the context of? Look at the context of the mitzvah. Says the Beis Yosef in Source 34. Right. First, he says, "V'ani omer dechos leila Rambam milamizvarachi." How can you explain the Rambam this way? Tor, how can you think the Rambam thought such a thing? That's terrible. How can you accuse him of such a thing? Right? What led the Rambam to explain this mitzvah in the way that he did? Umikol makom, the mitzvah ha'elu nirali shelo natan behem tama Rambam midaito. The Rambam's not making up his own reason. Elamidas akasum. He's reading the pasuk. Really, the pasuk says, "Don't shave because Goyish priests shave their beards." Shematzon mukafos milafanein milachareyim mitzvos hanasas mishul chukei goyim. What are all of the surrounding phrases, which are mitzvos losa say, in those pesukim in Kedoshim and Amor? What is it talking about? Right, it talks about this mitzvah of don't destroy your beard is surrounded by other mitzvos that are all rooted in one explanation, which is don't be like the Gentiles. Chukasakum. Sharei kasev lefneim. What does it say right before? Lo sochu al adam. Don't eat, right? Okay, different explanations in the Gemara exactly what that prohibition is. Lo senachashu, lo seonenu. Don't be involved again. Various types of what? Help me. What's it called?
Solutions.
No. Lo sena. What is it?
Seonenu.
Yeah. No, it's like reading the stars. What's the word I'm looking for? Horoscopes, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Having your palm read, astrology, right? Don't believe in signs, all sorts of omens, signs and omens, right? Lo sedachashu, lo seonenu. What does it say right after? Don't destroy your beard. V'acharein it says v'seret lenefesh koseres kaka. Don't get tattoos. Don't afflict yourself. Don't cut your skin as a sign of mourning. These are all non-Jewish practices. So therefore, the Rambam looked at the Psukim, concludes the Beis Yosef, Source 34, V'harei zeh kimifurash, she'akafas harosh v'ashchosas hazakan, nesru amnei shahayu osen kain ovdei avodazar v'komeyam. So it's ke'ilu, the Pasuk is telling us explicitly, kimifurash. It's almost as if it's clearly stated in the Pasuk, don't do this because it is secular, it is not Jewish. Yeah, question? Okay. You're just making sure your beard's still there. Okay, good. Okay? Now, this is a very good point that the Beis Yosef is making. This is an excellent point. The Rambam looked at the context of the Psukim, and that's how he came to his conclusion. It's part of a general package of Isurim, of Losases, right? Don't do things that Gentiles do. The Bach, in Source 35, comes along, and he says, it's very nice what you said, in explanation of the Rambam. The Rambam never said that, though. Right? He says in the last few words, in Source 35, V'nachon hu, I like what you're saying, Rav Yosef Kairo. It's a nice shot in the Psukim. If it was a Sefer on Chumash, I would like what you're saying. El shalom nimsa mizeh b'divei Rambam. The Rambam didn't say that he saw this as part of a package of again, mitzvot lo sa'aseh, which highlight the separation from Jews and Gentiles. It's not necessarily included. He saw it as a separate thing, right? That Jews don't shave their beards because Gentiles shave their beards. Okay, so the Bach says it's a nice pshat. It's not exactly what the Rambam says, but it's a good defense of the Rambam. Now, who should be most insulted at this point? Well, the Beis Yosef was very insulted with the way that the Torah explained the Rambam. Right? The Torah accused the Rambam of what? Of claiming that what? That we only do mitzvahs if we understand them, if we have a reason. But if you don't have a reason, you don't have to do it. The Beis Yosef came to the defense of the Rambam and said, how could you accuse the Rambam of such a thing? Right? The Rambam never held that way. The Rambam always, all over the place, says, we try to understand mitzvahs, but it doesn't mean we only do them if we understand. And he's very, Beis Yosef defends the Rambam, very upset at the Torah. No, so who should be most insulted at this point? You know who should be most insulted? The Torah should be most insulted. Why should the Torah be most insulted? Because how could you accuse the Torah of thinking that the Rambam held that way? It's a fascinating way it plays out on the page of the Torah. Right? The Beis Yosef says, Torah, I'm angry at you because you're implying that the Rambam held. Right? So comes the Darche Moshe, comes along Rav Moshe Isserles, and he says, Rav Yosef Cairo, excuse me, do you really think that the Torah would have thought the Rambam held that way? They're going back and forth. Mamash on the page of the Torah. Says the Darche Moshe in source 36, Vani Omer, Gam Ken Chosle L'Rabbeinu. Right? The language that the Beis Yosef used, he said, Chosle L'Rabbeinu, how dare we accuse the Rambam of such a thing? So says Rav Moshe Isserles, how dare you accuse the Torah of accusing the Rambam of such a thing? It's beautiful how it plays out. Ani Omer Gam Ken Chosle L'Rabbeinu, how dare you think that the Torah was Choshed B'Ksherim, that the Torah would say that the Rambam holds do you think the Torah really thought the Rambam thought that? The Rambam, maybe actually the Rambam's a modern modernish kind of guy because he was a doctor, right? So maybe he has all sorts of strange positions. No one holds that way. Right? Says the Darche Moshe. Lo matzino b'shum chacham Yisrael sheyamin b'zeh. The Rambam had some interesting shitas, but the Rambam certainly did not have a shita that said that if you don't understand the mitzvah, you don't have to do it. How dare you accuse the Torah of even thinking that about the Rambam? Elohu rak derech ha-poikrim b'torah she'inam aminim rak ma she'yaskim elav ha-seichel. Right? Only fools believe that you only do what makes sense to you. Part of Torah is emunah, and emunah means believing in things that you don't understand. V'lechein e'efshar, cannot be she'rabbeinu chishev kazos al Rambam. It can't be that the Torah ever really thought that. So what did the Torah think? Right? It's such an interesting thing. The Beis Yosef defends the Rambam, says the Torah is accusing the Rambam. Comes along with Moshe and says, the Beis Yosef is accusing the Torah. How can you think the Torah ever thought that about the Rambam? So he says, you know what the Torah was bothered by? Exactly what we thought at the beginning. Says the Darche Moshe in source 36, Shalo Nidrish Taimei Dekra, right, sorry, three lines from the end. Four lines from the end of the Darche Moshe. The line that begins Nidrosh. Shalo Nidrosh Taimi Dekra Lomar She'enu Asr Elek Derech She'asru Ovid Yavodah Zarah V'Komrei. What's the concern? Like exactly like we said at the beginning. That what happens if the Metzias changes? The Torah was worried that according to the Rambam Svara, the Rambam, because he explained the mitzvah, so now that we fully get the mitzvah, you might say, wait a minute, it doesn't apply anymore. Now the non-Jewish priests grow their beard. Right? The leaders of Al-Qaeda, Yamach Shemam V'Zichram, they have nice big beards. Right? If I was L'Havzo, Rahman al-Latsan, you look at a picture of the Ben Ish Chai, he looks like one of these Rishon. Right? So now the whole Metzias has changed, how beards are grown. Right? So that's what the Torah was worried about. That's what the Torah really meant when he was criticizing the Rambam. Says Rav Moshe Isserles, that's what he was worried about. And lebechol inyan aser, rather, what the Torah says is absolute. And the danger of what the Rambam is doing, he's not accusing the Rambam of saying that if you don't understand the mitzvah, you don't have to do it. But he's worried that because the Rambam explained it, so people say, oh, if the explanation doesn't apply anymore, then we don't have to do it anymore. When really the Rambam was only explaining part of the mitzvah. He's giving us a little bit of an understanding of the mitzvah. And of course, that doesn't mean that we can cancel the mitzvah if it doesn't apply anymore. Okay, I want to just conclude with the final couple of sources. And that is, there's one other explanation for why we don't destroy our beards. It has nothing to do with the non-Jewish priests, but it's something of a sign of beauty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has endowed the Jewish male with. And it's something that if Hashem gave it to you, it's not for us to remove. And that is what we find in Ibn Ezra and Sfarno in source 38 and 39. In addition to the explanation not to be like the Gentiles, says the Ibn Ezra, V'achar sheseya harosh v'azakan l'tif'eres nivra ein roi l'ashkisa. Hashem gave you beautiful hair and a beautiful beard, and it increases one's beauty, it makes a person look nice, so therefore why would you destroy it? Why would you remove something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you as a sign of great beauty? And the Sfarno even goes a step further, and it's very strong Lishonos. I had to put the Sfarno in. Look at his language here. Hang on 1 second. Look at the Sfarno, and then I'll take your comment. The Sfarno says, Lo sakifu, v'tziva, shelo nechal leim ba'kafas harosh, k'maisa, shotim v'shikorim okomer. Don't be like an idiot or a drunk or a priest who rounds off the corner of his head. Right? We didn't learn about rounding one's head, we're learning about the beard. But it's the same thing. And don't destroy your beard, says the Sfarno, because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Hadras Panim Zakan, that the hidden, the beauty of the face, right, is the beard. And therefore a person should allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's endowed you with the ability to grow a beard, and who are you to remove it and destroy it? Yeah.
So did you say
something
about Bris Mila then?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask about Bris Mila. Good question. Well, there are HaKadosh Baruch Hu who commands you to remove it. Right? Why Hashem set it up and it gives you something and then asks you to remove it is a good question. Okay, it's a good question. And we'll talk about it after Shir, because I really want to finish in the next 2 minutes. Okay? But this is an amazing idea, that the beard is a sign of beauty. The Gemara in Shabbos in Source 40 on Kuflin Beis Amud Beis tells an amazing story that asserted a troublemaker came to Rabbi Yeshua and was giving him all this trouble, and he was bothering him with these things. He said three things to him. So Rabbi Yeshua said back to him, Guza Guza, Tlas Amris Li, Tlas Shemat. Now you said your three pieces to me, now I'm going to say, now you're going to hear three things from me. You said three things to me, now you're going to, right? Meet the Kenegan, you're going to hear three things from me. This individual who had approached him was a eunuch. So he says to him, he wasn't able to grow a beard, he wasn't able to have children, right? He wasn't married. So he says to him, you tried to diss me, right? You tried to speak disrespectfully to me as a Jew. So now I'm going to respond, give you measure for measure. I'm going to say to you, Hadras Panim Zakar. The glory of a face is a beard, which you can't grow. Simchas Lev Isha. And the joy of man is the ability to get married, which you will never do. Nachas Hashem Banim. And the portion of Hashem, Pasuk in Tehillim, is children, which you will never have. Baruch HaMakom Shemanacha Mikulam. Praise the Lord that He has removed all three of these good things from you. Because you're a jerk. And you're a troublemaker. And you get what you deserve. So I'm happy you don't have a beard. I'm happy you never get married. And I'm happy you're never going to have a family. Wow. Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua was often fighting against those individuals who were causing trouble. But again, this is the source of what the Sfarno mentioned. Hadras Panim Zaka. That the glory of a face. And it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the ability to grow a beard, and therefore the Torah commands us not to destroy that. And the truth is, already in the Zohar, another Sifrei Drush, they make a play on the Pasuk in Kedoshim. The Pasuk says, "Mipnei seva takum, v'adarta pnei zakim," which literally means what? Show respect to elders, hadarta pnei zakim, right? Give honor to a zakim. But the Zohar makes a play on words, and Sifrei Drush go further with it, v'adarta pnei zakim is what? Again, hadras panim zakim. That the hider of a face is to have a beard. It's a beautiful thing, and we shouldn't make the mistake to think that we look better when we're clean shaven. In fact, today in the world, there's a trend. Beards are very in style, and it's a trend that the Jewish people knew about long ago. Says the Chafetz Chaim in Source 42, in his Kuntres Tiferes Adam, where the Chafetz Chaim speaks about the chashivas of growing a beard, and not, God forbid, using a shaver. He's trying to mechazek Klal Yisrael at a time when people were destroying their beards in a way that was totally unacceptable to halacha. Yesh siba la'avor ala avon achamor azeh. Why do people destroy their beards? Mipnei hayofi. They think it's more beautiful. Shayetzim rafata oso shayideza tiyamar eyu yafe v'yim tzachin b'nei abrios. People think if I'm clean shaven, people will like me better, they'll look at me better, I'll be more attractive. V'adavar be'emes b'hafcha. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's just the opposite. It's not true. Shahajas panim hu zakan, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, that the beauty of the face is to have a beard. I want to end just with a tshuva from the Divrei Malkiel. Divrei Malkiel was a great posek. Many of his tshuvas are quoted by contemporary poskim when discussing important areas of halacha. And he has a very fiery comment in his tshuvos in Chelek Hei Siman Pei Aleph about destroying one's beard. And we'll end with this. And again, the second half of today's shiur was really not so much a halachic perspective, but really a hashkafic perspective. That even if we could be matir using an electric shaver, and there certainly are poskim who allow it, and I think many of the Rashi Yeshiva and our Yeshiva do allow it, you should speak to a posek to have a better understanding halacha lemaisa of what you should do or not do. But again, there's still a tzura of a Yehudi. The same way Rav Moshe Feinstein wouldn't pen a tshuva on this topic because he didn't want it to become so commonplace that Jews feel so comfortable without beards. So it says the Divrei Malkiel the following: Higiyani mechtavo et makuntrasim levar sheis isra legalei chazakan v'misparayim af shalo kein tam. He said, I've read your kuntras, and you present those shitas that are so machmir that don't even allow using a scissor, right? Which is not like a razor to trim your beard. Now that's a very extreme position. We saw that's not like the Shulchan Aruch, and it's not like the Ramah. That's a very extreme position, but apparently someone sent a kuntras to the Divrei Malkiel, where he had collected sources on this topic. The Chavetz Ladas Da'atiba, then you want to know my position on this matter. I was very happy to see that you collected sources from the Achronim Hamachmirim Bezer. I'm happy to see that you're trying to find stringent opinions. Now, there are certain areas of halacha that were always noted lahakel. For example, when it comes to Nida Shilas, right? We try to be Matir Isha Labal. Gemara says the David Melech is always trying to be, David Melech is always passing Shilas. We want. If we can be lenient, we try to be lenient. There's other areas of halacha where we try to be stringent. Right? We have a netiyah towards being strict. The Gemara says, for example, in the third parak of Moed Katan, halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel. When it comes to avelus, we try to be lenient. There's certain areas that we're lenient, certain areas that we're machmir. Says the Divrei Malkiel, I'm happy to see that you're being machmir about this issue. Again, they're studded. He's Divrei Malkiel is an honest posek. He knows there are different sides. Right? The Gam Divrei Amakilim. But I'm happy to see that you're collecting both the opinions of those who are machmir and those who are meikel, not just presenting the lenient opinion. Continuing in the third line, the Gam Chavetz Lakabitz Olarabos Paalim LaTorah Megidolei Dorino LaChazik Hase Isra Hase. And I'm glad to see you're collecting the positions of great rabbis who are stringent about this matter. Ki Kol Haroa Ba'ayin Bochenes. Anyone who looks with an honest eye. He says everything that's falling apart in the land in which we're living, right? I'm not sure exactly where he was, somewhere in Europe, but wherever we are, he says one of the things that we see Jews drifting away from Judaism, one of the things that they first do is that they shave their beards. You start with trimming the beard, and before you know it, you're using an actual razor, and next thing, one thing leads to the next. And if he says, you're going to tell me it's not true, he says, anyone who has an honest eye sees that this is happening in our locations. Until the person uses this as a stepping stone to much worse averos. And therefore he says, I hold that putting aside the question of what's an acceptable method of cutting one's beard, but there's also a minhag hamakom. Very interesting. He says, because for hundreds of years in our location, it has not been the practice to walk around clean shaven, yesh b'zem yishuv, it's a violation of what? Al titosh Torah simecha. It's a violation of the pasuk that says, do not abandon the Torah simecha. As the Gemara in Pesachim explains, da'af shekosho lehem lino chumer zu. It's a chumrah, it's on the books. There's a minhag makom that has to be followed. And all the more so in our case, like I told you, where it leads to all sorts of bad things. Normally we see the Chazal make fences around the Torah, like it says in Yevamos. We don't find the specific siyag on this matter in the Gemara. But in the Zohar it says, they're very strict about this in the Zohar. The Zohar is also the words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the words of Chazal. When the Zohar argues on the Gemara, we follow the Gemara, we follow the Shas. But when the Shas, when the Gemara doesn't say anything and the Zohar has a position on it, then the Zohar is binding. Well, the Fizah says the last three lines, Hareza din gomar shalol etzapra zakan misraim. This is the din. V'nehi. And he says, I'll be honest. V'medino shalol nagu lahachir b'zeh ein lahar achareyem. In places where it's widespread, you don't have to think badly of them like we saw from Rav Asher Weiss in his tshuva. It's not maris ayin if it's a widespread custom in America that people shave. However, we should try, he says, certainly in our Medina, in a place where the practice is that Jews do go with a beard. It's a binding minhag. and it's incumbent upon us to be mekayim such a practice. So again, this is a regal achas, two shirim. There's only so much one can do, but I think it's a good overview of the topic. And Amir Sashem, we should all be blessed with the bracha. I was thinking a couple of years ago on the Yom Noram. On the Yom Noram, what does it say when the chazan gets up to say the pre-musaf tefillah? And he says, "Hinei ani, I'm such an ani, right? I'm not worthy of leading the congregation." What does he say? Who should lead? Who should lead the congregation? An old Jew with a long beard. So I was thinking, if you daven in a shul with some young guys, some young clean-shaven guys in the chazan, so then yeah, inach anami. You're not an old Jew with a long beard. But what if you daven in a place where the chazan is an old Jew and he does have a long beard? So why does he say, "I'm not worthy, I'm not a zakin with a long beard"? The answer is because no matter how long your beard is, it can always be longer. It can always be longer. That's what he's saying. No matter how good of a Jew I am with my long beard, my beard could always be a little bit longer. Okay, I'm saying it as a joke. But again, it shows the chashivas of the hadras panim zakan, the beauty of a Jewish face with a beard. And I'm very happy, personally. This is my hakar satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as my hair starts to grow back. I'm thankful to Hashem that I'm able to grow a beard. And Amir Sashem, we should all be zochet to beautiful beards and be mekayim this mitzvah with all of the tikduke halach. Yeah.